Grace, mercy, and peace be to you on this New Year's Day and on the day we remember the naming of Jesus. Amen. It's the first day of the new year. And on New Year's Day, I think it's a good chance to make a change in life. I'm not talking about, you know, making a resolution to say you're going to lose 30 pounds or something like that, only to find you slip back into your old comfort level about 2 weeks later. But I mean changing the kind of things that you can change. And that's really, really simple. I mean, like, things like, you know, if you got a raise or a bonus this year, you adjust your budget, or maybe I know one fellow that he used to go around his house and change all the batteries in the smoke alarm on New Year's Day. And I said, well, why do you do it on New Year's Day? He says, that way I always remember it. That's my ritual. Yeah, you could decide what kind of travel plans you have for the year, things like that. It's not really that we have to have a New Year's Day, because what this marks is a day that we pick that the world has made another revolution around the sun. Of course, we've got to add a quarter day, so every 4 years we have that extra day called Leap Year Day. But it is nice, as time keeps rolling on, whether we mark it or not, it's nice to take a day and to celebrate a new year that the Lord has given us. Now, when God called his people out of Egypt, when they were in slavery there, and he sent Moses to bring them out, and he took them on that 40-year journey, their life was very hard. There were dangers out there in the Sinai Desert. And it wasn't just 1 year, but 40 years. And I can imagine them looking ahead and thinking, once they got out there, well, how are we ever going to make it? It's so rough out here. It was great to be freed from slavery, but then the hardships that they would have to face confronted them. Lack of water and food, there were hostile nations they had to travel through, difficult terrain. But along the way, they eventually found out that the Lord would supply everything they needed. And you know how he did that. Water from a rock, manna from heaven, that bread that he sprinkled on the ground each morning, even poultry to eat each day that they could go out and pick up and gather. God was showing that he would take care of his people just as he promised. But you know, there were also some words he gave them to remind them of this continually. We call it the Aaronic benediction because it's the words that God gave to Moses. And he said, give these words to your brother Aaron, the high priest, and have him put these words on the people as a blessing. Not just once, but many times. Now, it is a blessing, and that describes the spiritual character of the people of Israel, this Aaronic benediction. This is what God did to set them apart. It's like a seal on the whole order and organization of the people of God back then. Jehovah, the name of their God, had not only put his blessing on them, but he also put the communication of this blessing into the mouths of their priests and on the priests' hands. And then he chose them to bring this blessing of his covenant, and he made it their official duty. This was their career, you might say. This was their calling, these priests, to give this blessing to the people. So you can see these words are important if people dedicate their lives just to this task. Thousands of them were priests. This blessing has three parts, as you know. Each part contains a special application of the part before it. The three parts unfold, I think, kind of like a napkin at a nice restaurant where you get not something out of paper, but linen, and that thing unfolds to cover your lap as you sit there and eat. So does our benediction unfold. In the first part, it says, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Now, this is a general blessing. The blessing of God is where God is in action, preserving his people from evil that might overtake them, pouring down good on us from heaven. And, as the blessing says, he also keeps us, that is, prevents the devil from overtaking us and our enemies. Just as he did on that 40-year journey, so he promised to do this year in our lives and every year that we live as we call upon his name. He is the defender of the church. The second part of the blessing says, Jehovah make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And this defines the blessing already given. The face of God is his personality turned towards us. Fire goes out from Jehovah's face. Many stories in the Old Testament tell us that God sent down fire as a judgment upon people when they had rebelled against him and turned against his ways. You think of the city of Sodom, don't you? It was totally destroyed by fire from heaven. Or that rebellion of Korah, where he sent fire to destroy those who turned against God's prophet, Moses. But we can also think of his face like that of the sun shining brightly on the earth. God has linked our life here to the sun, hasn't he? We don't think about it much. We have a sunny day, we think that's nice. But the sun is the source of all light and warmth here on earth. It's the source of energy and plants from which we get our energy and makes everything grow. Now, we're not supposed to look directly into the sun, are we? We learned that as little kids. It's too much for our eyes to take, too powerful to behold. Kind of reminds us, you know, looking at God, our holy creator, is too powerful for us. Even Moses could not look directly at the Lord, but saw him through the gap in a rock, his backside of him. But it also reminds us of why God sent Jesus as a baby, as a humble child, who we could gaze upon and see God in human flesh. God is the sun that sends the rays of divine light into a heart in need of salvation. He makes that heart the receiver of his goodness. The third part of the blessing is about his face. Jehovah lift up his face on you and give you peace. One of the things we have to teach little kids is that when an adult comes up and speaks to them, addressing them, we have to teach him to turn and face that person and look up into their eyes and listen to what they say and then say something in response. Now, being a parent, that's probably one of the hardest things to get a kid to do at the age of 5, 6, or 7, but they eventually learn that of respect to someone who's speaking to them, even though they're shy and not feeling strong about themselves. That's not an easy thing to do. But in this fashion, the blessing that God brings to us, the promises, that God will look directly at us, that he will give us his attention, and that his countenance or his face is turned toward us, giving us that complete focused attention of God. He's not missing anything in our life, any trouble that's going on, or any celebration that we have. But God is tuned into us. This is what this blessing says to us. And there's perhaps no better example today than the person of Jesus Christ. As I said, today's the 8th day after Christmas, where Jesus was circumcised and publicly given his name. He was the Son of God himself. And even as an infant, he was made to shed his blood for us. That's a prefigurement of his death on the cross. As he's circumcised and the blood is shed, we look ahead to where the ultimate shedding of blood is at Calvary. And there he gave his life in order to save the lives of all of us. His name, in Hebrew Yeshua, we say in English Jesus, means he saves. No other name could be given to this child, for he brought salvation from death into this world, and all who sincerely call upon his name and pray to him will receive that gift of salvation and along with it, everlasting life. Now, when in Christ God turns his face to you, you can have peace. Peace in your heart and in your life, because you know that you will not be condemned when God looks at you. It won't be fire coming out at you, even though that's what we deserve from God. But our sins and our failings have received total forgiveness, and that peace comes to us peace that God gives you, a power to carry on in life, no matter what challenges lie ahead. This threefold blessing, we know as a benediction. It's said at the end of our services, has been for a long time. This benediction has been a blessing on people for over 3,000 years now, and it's the oldest, one of the oldest parts of our liturgy. Now, we place it at the end of the service because we believe that here in the divine service, God has smiled on us through the hearing of his word and the shedding of his blood as he lays out for us in the Lord's Supper. When we receive him in this way, we are truly blessed. And we can go forth from the service knowing that God's blessing is with us, just as those Israelites went on for their 40 years in the wilderness until they continued and God settled them in that promised land. So we are on a journey. Right now we call this journey 2006, don't we? But it'll go on beyond that if the Lord wills. But we really need the Lord's blessing to provide for all our needs for all of this year and to protect us from evil in the world and in every year in the future. And in Jesus Christ, we have received that blessing. That's what these words mean at the end of our service today. Now, we know that good works don't save us, but it is faith in Christ alone. And the good works are a part of that faith. They are evidence that faith is living in us. But I think sometimes Lutherans kind of, you know, we have so much emphasis on saved by faith, we forget about the good works. We kind of get into our old habits of just letting things go. So that might be a good use of New Year's Day as we think about how God is sanctifying us and we want to live sanctified lives. I say, for instance, examine today your life on New Year's Day. Examine your life as it has you have lived it in the past and the things that you are currently doing. The social activities. I ask the kids, examine the music you're listening to. You know, if it's rap music that's so popular, is the words of that music, is it God-pleasing? Should it be going into your ears? Or your social activities, are they God-pleasing in every way? If not, make some changes. Yes, change our lives with the Holy Spirit's help so that we can live God-pleasing lives. And finally, the grace of Jesus Christ be in your heart this new year and forever. And may you have peace. Peace in Christ. Amen.